Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
G'day everybody and welcome to the Draft Doctors. I hope this cool change has finally come through to you. It's been a hot couple of days. We are talking our midfield ranks, our final position. Really looking forward to this one. And as always, joining me is Stevie Fizz. Steve, how are you, mate?
Somewhat okay, Jono. Somewhat okay, as I imagine you probably are as well. G'day to all the listeners out there. But Jono, really for us, the draft season officially kicked off today. We're recording this on Monday, and if the people haven't been with us before, we do our draft order via the Royal Rumble. And for about the 50th year in a row, we're next to each other again.
Every year, we are side by side in the draft no matter what. And it really is starting to annoy the hell out of me because we do like to draft similar type players at the same time. And we can't get one over on each other. We can't just go, how about getting Jack Nunes at this position or something like that? It just doesn't work.
No. So it's... I think I'll probably be happier with my spot than maybe you are with yours because of who's behind me. But again, it's just great to be... This is it. We know where we're drafting now. How the brain's tinkering.
Well, that's it. I had a mate came over and watched the Rumble with us, and he's two spots higher at pick four, and he almost was actually 5, 6, 7. So, and we had that a couple of years ago. It just basically wrecked our draft because we were sharking each other on players.
Yeah. Anyway, it's exciting.
Yeah, but if you are looking for a way to pick your draft orders, use the Royal Rumble if you haven't looked online and spoiled the results. It doesn't matter, but use that, or even the very first women's Royal Rumble was on today, which was quite an exciting affair as well.
Well, if you do like that, you could always just simulate it on a video game.
Yeah, well, you could do that. The old Nintendo 64 Royal Rumble, that was awesome. And he has been long suffering in the Tassie heat wave, 32 degrees. I don't know how he coped, but welcome to you, Statesman.
Was a bit warmer than that yesterday, that's for sure. It was a very nice hot day and very, very hot night. Bit hard to sleep. But I have a Stremple, boys. I thought it was a slight Stremple, but you've told me you either have a Stremple or you don't. Now, I premise this, and this is why it was slight, that I've enjoyed the BBL fantasy competition immensely again. It's grown out of sight this year, over 70,000 involved. It was great fun. I've finished up 87th after the home and away, so I'm very happy with the season. A few little errors here and there that got me out of the top 20, but that's okay. That happens in the fantasy season. I finished on top of the table of the BBL Draft Doctors League, and I have Archie in the semi-final, so that's going to be a bit of fun and a bit of banter between Tassie and Bunbury. But my Stremple is... The season has now finished. The home and away season has now finished. And you get to the stage where all of a sudden you play finals and it actually links up to the BBL finals. So therefore, you've only got two games, so four teams that you pick your squad from. But the amount of money I've made throughout the season, I can buy anyone and have almost $100,000 left in my kitty. I can't spend as much money. So Archie, who actually generated 1,600 points less than me for the whole season, can actually have exactly the same team. So there's actually no benefits of doing your whole work for the season.
No, that's fair enough as well. I mean, I know, treat it like the EPL season. Finish on top, you win the league, that's it, game over.
Yeah, and I think that's probably the best result. For bang, you play 10 rounds and it's a championship rather than a final series as such. So,
now, fair enough. And if you want to follow us on social media, you can do that by checking us out on Twitter. We are at The Draft Doctors and at Statesman33. Check out the website, thedraftdoctors.com.au. Content dropping there all the time, whether it's our rankings, articles, whatever it may be. Also, check out the Facebook as well. If you've got any questions, hit us up there. But we are talking our top 30 midfield ranks. And as always, it is the Statesman kicking us off with the AFL Fantasy /Dream Team/Ultimate Footy ranks. Fire away.
I'm sure you're not surprised who my top two is. I'm sure you probably won't be surprised who my top five is, but number one, it's quite simple. Tom Mitchell, average 127. He is absolutely sensational. And as we talked about at the beginning of last year, just needed that coach to be taken away and given free rein. He's had free rein. He is an absolute jet in the gun. 127 average. Easy number one. Easy number two is Patrick Dangerfield, the number one player in AFL fantasy the previous year, and then averaged 120, so clearly in second position. Zach Merritt, who dropped down our lists a fair bit the following or the previous year because we debated, now Heppel's back, now Watson's back, what's going to happen? He averaged 117 in 2016. Will he back that up, 117 in 2017? I can't see that slowing down. I don't know if there's really that much room for improvement, but if you're scoring 117, just under that 120, then you're in the top three. Now, number four is Dustin Martin, gentlemen. Magnificent season last year. Finished the fourth or the fifth highest scorer. I think Taylor Adams might have been just ahead of him. It was his banner year, and I will say that I still undervalue Dustin Martin, but I won't be surprised if he continues this form. Yes, he's going to get attention, but with that don't argue, and with that strength and ability, he's just going to rack up the points, and he's just going to have massive games. And he's one of those midfielders that I wouldn't be surprised somewhere in his career that he's going to amass 200 points in AFL fantasy scoring. He just has that ability. Now, whether it's absolutely consistent, that's the greatest question. Number five, I have Josh Kelly. We probably broke out a little bit all earlier than what we thought to get to the elite level, but an average of 112, I only see an upside for him. He got tagged last year because we've all been waiting to see what happened with the tag. He got tagged and pumped out 160. That is just massive. So the boy's a gun. I don't know what his upper limit is. I really don't. And with a little bit of that upper end talent thinning out, I don't know whether that's good or bad for him. It's just a guess. But if you're drafting in fifth position and Josh Kelly's available, it's not a bad decision, no matter which way you go. Number six, I've got Lachie Neale. He dropped 11 points last year, but we know he was coming off a really poor pre-season. I think he had three or four operations last year, but he can still absolutely rack them up. I'm expecting to go back to that 110 mark, and I think he'll keep pumping those out, and I think he's a keeper league gem as well. Number seven, I undervalued last year, and I'm probably potentially undervaluing as well because I don't think he'll ever get tagged, and that's Taylor Adams. But sometimes a little bit worried about what his exact role is going to be. You know, is he going to be a defender, a forward, or just a pure midfielder? I'm thinking that the grunt midfielder is his role, so that's why I still got him in the top 10. But he did average 114 last year. That was just massive. But you take away, and it's probably why I undervalue Dustin Martin. We always saw him as that forward, and, you know, 100 averaging forward is an absolute gun. And then you're saying 105 average midfielder, is it that important? Well, Taylor Adams, he's losing the defender status, so it's probably why he's just down a little bit. I want to see him do it more than 1 year. Number eight, Matt Crouch. Now, he's jumped a few in this list, gentlemen, and it's on the back that he is still getting low time on ground and points per minute. He is an absolute sensation, and last round last year he pumped out his highest ever score of 150. So all of a sudden he's shown us that he's got a ceiling, and this boy is just a ball magnet. His brother's not too bad either, but he just hasn't had the consistency on the ground. Number nine, I've got Adam Treloar. I'm thinking that he long-term is 110 averager. No, he's a better AFL fantasy player right now than he is super coach, but I'm still convinced that he is one of those prime players, and he's certainly right up there for me. And number 10, it was a difficult one here because there was quite a few that I was debating, and there's a couple there that are tag candidates, and certainly Rory's one of those. It's Mr. Sloan, 107 average, but we know he's got a fantastic ceiling. But with so many quality players in that team now, I don't know if the attention's always going to be on Rory. And if he does get released a bit, I can see it going over 110.
Yeah, it's pretty similar top 10 to mine. Only real change, I had Kelly at 3. I just think he's just going to burst up even further. I think, was the average 110 or 12 last year. I've got Zach Merritt at 4. Still going to be right up there. Probably going to be around that 117 mark as well. Neil at 5 for me. Dusty, 6. And it's pretty similar looking top 10. I had Zorko at 10 instead of Rory Sloan, so pretty similar.
So, Dusty, we're both undervaluing him. Are you looking at him higher, Steve?
Oh, we had the same top five, actually. Oh, top six, actually. The only guy I've got different, I've got Tom Rockliffe in it. He snuck in at number 10 for me. And, you know, there was one or two spots different on a couple of other players, but that was about it.
Beautiful. Moving on to my second load of 10, number 11 was Dane Zorko. 114 average, which is a magnificent year, banner year for him. I'm very concerned with that tag. He's a bit of a hot and cold, and that just keeps him back. Overall average, fantastic. And I don't know how the new structure of Brisbane's going to go without the Rockliffe. I'm just a little bit unsure, so when you get that question marks, he just drops under a little bit. My next two have risen up the charts as the weeks have gone. So when we initially done the top 30 overall, these guys were a bit lower, or one of them might have actually even missed out. But they're moving up, and I'm just starting to like the feel again. Number 12, I've got Tom Rockliffe. I still think he's got the potential to be number one. I know there's still a lot of talk about him spending a fair bit of time up forward. I honestly can't see it. If you've got a clearance king, why don't you actually utilise it? Other players have got run, other players have got goal kicking ability. Yes, he can rest a little bit up forward, but at the moment I just don't see it of him being a more permanent forward. So he's at 12. And number 13, I'm just putting a line through last year, move it on, and then just put that little graph of where it was heading. Luke Parker at number 13. I just think this boy's a jet, and I think he needs to spend a fair bit more time in the midfield. I think the Swans will pick it up. And if you actually take away the first 7 rounds, we know you had an interrupted pre-season, and we know the Swans had a slow start. But you have a look at that period where the Swans were winning, then he was clearly in that sort of top 15 midfielders. So that's the way we should be looking at Luke Parker. So it's taken me a bit of time to re-warm up to that, but I'm actually pretty convinced now that unless there's injury interruptions, that Lukey Parker will be back up in that mix. And I think he would have been in my top 10 last year. So I've just got to move past the previous year, or certainly the first 7 rounds of last year, and go where the consistency of data says. Number 14, still side bottom. He's one that slipped a little bit. I think that he's a good quality scorer, but I certainly would have him in the top two tiers. Then 15, Jack McRae. Again, just slipped a little bit to let Rockliffe and Parker pass. I'm pretty comfortable where he sits, but I don't think he's a 110 operator. Number 16, Bryce Gibbs, undervalued this man for a long period of time. So if he pumps out another 110 plus, then it's my bad. Number 17 is Clayton Oliver. Rate this boy, but I still don't understand the data. It's only Jack McRae and one or two others that have done so well in their second season. I just don't know where the ceiling is with him. So I'm being a bit conservative with Clayton Oliver. I also wouldn't be surprised if he goes out and smashes a 110, a bit like his first half of the season last year. Number 18, Dyson Heppel. I'm starting to cool on Heppel. I think he's just going to be that 100 to 105 mid. I don't think he's going to be the crossing over the barrier to be an Uber premium. Marcus Bontempelli, I'm a little bit the same. I just wonder whether he's going to be one of those footballers and a much better footballer than he is a fantasy footballer, and maybe more leaning towards the super coach game than dream team game. And number 20 is Seb Ross. I'm not 100% convinced, but look, the data says he had a breakout year. Can he continue the upward trend? Averaged 102 last year. Again, I think he's just that 100 to 105 at this stage. So that's my second 10.
Yeah, a lot of big difference there for me. I had Bont and Heppel at 27, 28. You're right there on the Bont. He is your super coach player. He gets 15 to possessions and a goal, and he scores 180 for you, where he's only not going to get that in dream team and fantasy. Dyson Heppel, yeah, as you said, he's just bang on 100 for me. So you can pick him up towards the back end of your M3s there for me. Where else do I have? I had Sloan 11, Rocky 13, Pendles 12, Oliver 14. I'm with you there on Parker. I'm really warming up to him, and I think you're really going to get some good value on him. I think people like Dusty will undervalue him and maybe wait on him maybe a round later or two, and you'd be able to snap him up and he'll get you some good return there. And then it's pretty much the same. I had McRae and Sidey in there, but Gibbs was a little bit lower for me. I just don't see a 110 plus average. I'm seeing him more maybe a 105-ish this year moving to a new club. And it's role dependent. If he gets a Brody Smith type role, it could affect it even more for me.
Who did you have in there that Statesman didn't?
I had Beamsy up there at 15.
Yeah, fair enough. I guess I'm wildly different, and it's no surprise that I've gone with the old man crew, rocking Gary Ablett in there at number 12. I think it's a disgrace not to have him in there. Dane Beams in at 13, Scott Pendlebury at 15, and Mark Murphy at 16. I've also got Brad Crouch at 19. Interested in Brad Crouch. Talk about Matt Crouch's low game time. Brad Crouch had even less game time and was still banging out some pretty handy scores, especially in the back half of the year. It's hard to trust him, isn't it? That's really the problem.
But, top 10 potential, no doubt.
Yeah, and that's the thing. But, that's a real wait and see. I guess at 19, you're sort of saying, I'm okay missing out on him. He's probably more your third. I know it's an M2, but he's probably the sort of guy you'd want as your third midfielder, not your second. But Zorko, I can't have that high. I'm with you on Parker. I'm a little bit lower at 17. Side bottom, I'm at 20. Heppel, I've got at 32. It's hard to get a read on. I really wanted to rank him higher, but going through all the data, I just couldn't find a spot for him any higher than that.
No, and fair enough. And I will say, Gary Ablett doesn't make my top 30. I actually had him at 31. And I'll explain the reason why. He has not been in the top 75 midfield overall scores for the past 3 years.
Well, where's Brad Crouch been then?
Where's Brad
Crouch?
Well,
he hasn't played like 18 games.
Oh, yeah, I haven't named Brad Crouch yet.
But you will.
Yeah, I will. but one's on the upward bent that's in his 20s, the other one's well over that magical, lovely age that I like.
Which one's a top five player in the league?
No doubt. Mm. But if you haven't been in the top 75 overall scorers for the past 3 years, and you're, correct me if I'm wrong, is it 34 or 35 years of age? I just don't have the confidence that he's going to play more than 16 games of footy. And I could be totally wrong. He could be the number one scorer. But I just that data saying to me, yet again, look, he's going to be wonderful for the owners sometimes.
So I always think with elite sport, so much of it's played between the years. And I just think you're hearing in a different bloke to what we've heard for the last 5 years.
Agreed.
So
no, I do agree with that. There's no doubts about it. All right, so moving on to the remainder of my top 30. Now, we'll say nine of these have actually got the potential to be in the top 10, which is a weird thing to say, but it is the reality. At 21, I've got Mark Murphy. So 111 average, but is it one out of the box, or is this him returning to being a healthy player? So there's a lot of question marks there. So I'm unsure which way it's going to go, but he's still worthwhile actually giving a bit of respect to. Next one, Scott Pendlebury, 108 average. So probably deserves to be a little bit higher ranked, but I do have the question marks on role, whether they start nursing him through and use it when required rather than just be in that guts the whole time. Number 23 is the coldest I've been on this bloke for a while, and it's probably the little trigger he needs to wake up. But I also worry about the mix and the quality they've got at the club, and that's Ollie Wines. I've been waiting, especially with the points per minute, of a major breakout for this bloke. It hasn't happened yet. To me, it should have happened. He certainly has the ability to be a top 10 scorer, and I'll proudly and gladly say I'm wrong if and when he truly breaks out, but I just haven't seen enough evidence of it. Only averaged 100 last year. He hasn't gone any further than I expect him to, so we've got to leave him in that third tier at the moment. Number 24 certainly has the ability to be a top scorer, but again, more of a super coach than an AFL fantasy player, and I think probably a better player than an AFL fantasy player, and that's Nat Fyfe. Can certainly put some big games up. I've got a feeling that as they develop, that he might spend a bit more time up forward. They need some dangerous goal kickers, and that could be one of the options for him. Only averaged 97 last year. Like to see more from him. Number 25, late season form was fantastic, and that's Dion Prestia. Only averaged 98, but we know Meatball can score. And correct me if I'm wrong, but he was around the 110 average for that last period of the season. So certainly showed that once his body was getting right and changed to a ball getting roll, that he can actually get a fair bit of the peel. So he certainly could be higher, but on evidence that we've got at the moment, just a little bit cool. 26 is Brad Crouch. We just talked about the points per minute. Averaged 103. Second half of the season was fantastic. Finals were brilliant. If he can stay out in the park, certainly expect him to be a lot higher than he is ranked. Another super coach player, but we can maybe expect with a full pre-season so far under his belt, is Patrick Cripps from Carlton Football Club. I just really don't know what his ceiling is in AFL fantasy at the moment. So it's just sort of holding off. He's not a Scott Pendlebury of 5 years ago. He's a how big can he go? Number 28 is certainly scoring power is not question. How fit he's going to be is the question, and that's Dane Beams. An absolute jet when he's up and about, but how often is he going to be up and about? So I'm a bit cool on some of those Brisbane players right now, and could be proven wrong. Number 29 is JPK. Again, another player that has been in the top 10 in scoring and has the potential of getting back there. I just wonder about those Sydney roles and how Callum Mills, Heaney and Parker and Lloyd to a lesser extent are actually going to impact the actual midfield time of both Dan Han and JPK. And last but not least, and it was hard for me to put this bloke in, but he ended up getting the nod just because the consistency part of it, and that's Brad Ebert. But if you're in a salary cap, pick him up early, get rid of him by the mid-season break, because he always seems to have blind the first half of the year and then trails away. Averaged 102 last year, and that's recognition of his actual consistency year in, year out of where his scoring's at. He's not 110 average, although he can go through peak periods where he's scoring very, very big. So missing out, I had three players of note. One, because of age and that consistency, is Gary Ablett. But as you say, is he a different man? Is that going to tick boxes? If he starts playing in the forward line, you're in a competition that has changes of positions, go hot. Try to get him as early as possible, no matter what he's scoring. The next one was Dan Han. Just lost a bit of confidence there, gents, at the moment. Was certainly a person that I'd consider in the top 10 in previous years. I'm a little bit less forgiving for Dan Han at the moment. It's more because of his role. If he's predominantly going to be outside, his just scoring seems to drop away. And it becomes a target for opposition as well. And one I thought I should mention, just because of the second half of the season last year, my problem is I can't confirm 100% that he's always going to be in the best 22. I think he should be, and I think his scoring showed that when he's given the role he deserves, then he's going to be a top scorer, and that's Luke Dunstan.
That's an interesting one. Dunstan, I've got him closer to my 40 range than that. Yeah, Wines, I had no interest whatsoever. He was outside my top 30 for me as well. A couple different that I had. I had Andrew Gaff in my top 30 there.
Wow.
He's just going to be... I think with Nick Nack coming there, feeding the ball and that, he'll get the outside run. He'll be that 103.
Is that the guy that's not jumping at training?
Oh, come on. What... I don't believe that crap. From Paul Hazelby, he was an ex-Freo player. Yeah, inside. only that one. JPK, 21. No Dan Han as well. Actually, I had Joel Selwood come in at 30 for me as well.
Wow, and, yep.
Who was...
I think I've been burnt a little few too many times with Joel Selwood.
Yeah, oh, look, he's probably better in Supercoach. You might have him a little bit higher, but I just think fantasy-wise... he's, as I said, I've called him to fall off the cliff, but I still think he's going to be a top 30 midfielder in both formats as well. Prestia, I found him hard to rank this year, actually. I know he was really good in those last half dozen games or so, but more of a JLT watch for me, but I'm still pretty high on him as well at the same time. Who'd you have different, Steve?
Yeah, I had a couple different. I didn't have Prestia in there as well. I kind of like the ranking, but I think it's just a bit rich for my blood. I think you can probably slot him in the 30s and you'll get him. I did have Cripps in there. I had Mitch Duncan in there.
Yeah, I must admit, I talked about him, and now you say it, when I was getting hotter on a few of the others, I should have got hotter on Mitch Duncan. I agree, that's one I've missed.
I just think... you know, instead of these guys like Oliver and Bont and Fife and JPK, I'd rather him. I have got, you know, Oliver, Bont and JPK. I've got JPK 26.
And now you say it, I'm actually putting Duncan in ahead of Ebert.
That makes sense. I've got... also, I had Joel Selwood in at 29. I had Steve Coniglio in at number 30. I think that's a bit of an omission, but you know, maybe I'm different. I think he's the one constant who's not going to get tagged in that midfield. He's not going to wear you with a 140, but he's going to deliver you between 90 and 110, 115 every single week. So I really like that. And one I've got that no one's mentioned, 28. I had Aaron Hall. The splits when Gary Ablett's not there, it's so tantalising. And, you know, I wouldn't pair, if I've drafted Rockliffe or Beams or Ablett in front of him, I'm not pairing them with Aaron Hall. But if I've got, you know, a Tom Mitchell and a Jack McRae, say, as my M1s and 2s, and I'm doing okay elsewhere, I might take that gamble on the Aaron Hall for the scintillating upside.
I will say with Aaron Hall, I have him in a keeper league. And I love the upside, but geez, I'm nervous. Oh,
well, when doing these races initially, I had him in my top 30, but I just couldn't bring myself to do it. Like as you said, he's a very nervy player to watch.
Oh, absolutely. And I also, even we have 12 keepers. If I'm looking at cutting one and you know and going and keeping up Blake Akers, I'm thinking, well, is he going to get picked next week? Is Farini going to take over that role? And bang he gone. So I'm going, wow, do I cut my losses with Aaron Hall somewhere along the way, whether it's a trade or whether it's a cutting? But you can imagine he goes pick number one if you cut him on the redraft.
I'm looking for midfielders. Yeah,
absolutely.
You're looking for midfielders. I think you're looking for pretty much everything.
Oh, defenders I'm okay with. Got any ruckman as well? But moving on now to the Supercoach ranks. Kicking it off with Paddy Dangerfield, number one.
Shocker.
Yeah, massive shocker. This top 10 is going to be an absolute shocker. I think it's going to be pretty much the same as Statesman, but just a few different orders. Danger's been the best player in the comp for the last couple of years. I don't see that changing too much. Number two, Tommy Mitchell. Can't go past him. He's even one of those players who could be the number one scorer and the number one player in Supercoach this year. I've got a few shekels on him to be that player for most disposals. We know Matty Crouch did it last year, but I think Tommy Mitchell can do it this year. Number three, Dusty Martin for me, just a contested ball winner, which Supercoach rewards. He will spend time forward, kick you some goals, but he'll also get you that 25-30 possessions in the midfield as well. Josh Kelly coming in at number four. As Statesman said, they tried to tag this bloke, but still pumped out the 160s. He just gets it done. Untaggable. He's going to be in that midfield with Steve Coniglio for a very long time. And Nat Fyfe coming back off that injury from the year before. Wasn't quite at his best. I think this year is when he's really going to go bang. Got him at number five. Always shown he's a massive Supercoach scorer. Ross the Boss likes him a lot, and he will rest forward, so you might see him be like a Danger and Ablett where they spend time forward and kicking the goals. Number six, I've moved up. It's Matty Crouch. Still a young fella. Builds that tank. He's going to get more time on ground, which will build his score as well. So really like Matty Crouch. Number seven is Lucky Neal. As Statesman said as well, had the injuries, but coming back, he can average you in the mid-115s, no worries at all. Zach Merritt, I slid just a little bit. I did have him a little bit higher, but just that tag coming in worries me a little bit, but he's still going to be a pretty good scorer for you this year. Dane Zorko, number nine. I'm still pretty hot on him. Averaged 110 in Supercoach last year. It's probably his limit, and that's still pretty good for a round one captain choice for me. As we know, he can bang out the 190s, which we saw last year. And Tommy Rockliffe coming in at number 10 for me. There are concerns about his shoulder being a bit dodgy still, but this guy is going to be an absolute beast at Port Adelaide, and I can see him bouncing back to his very best.
Yeah, so I'll kick it off. We've actually got the exact same top five, Jono, so that's I'm worried now about my ranks, I've got to say. And the guy I've got in there that you don't, Scott Pendlebury at nine. Probably his worst year. I don't see why he can't bounce back. We know he's such a good user of the ball. Still had three scores over 140. Rory Sloan, I had at number eight. And Marcus Bontempelli, number seven. I think fifth year, he's very consistent, doesn't miss games. This is his turn to go bang.
And my question on the two of them, which is adding on to Steve's, is Bontempelli and Pendlebury, I'd have in the top 10 for Supercoach.
Pendlebury have actually slid a fair bit this year. I just think age, and there's other players in the AFL who are better Supercoach scorers coming above him, which, moving on to the second 10, I've got Clayton Oliver at number 11. The guy is a Supercoach beast. I mean, even though his handball to kick ratio is Matt Prittis and Scott West region, in the 2-1s, basically. But if he gets a few more kicks, he can go uber premium there. Rory Sloan comes in at number 12 for me. Just a super consistent Supercoach player. Tackles, kicks goals, gets the possessions as well. I've got the Bont there at 13. Love what he does. You're right, Steve. He is the one guy who can go bang and could potentially just tear the competition apart and see a 118 average this year. But bloody Luke Beveridge scares the hell out of me. Leaves him in that forward 50 for half a game, really affecting his scores. But Supercoach is a weighted game, so he could actually kick two or three and score 84 and a quarter. Pendle's at 14 for me. As I said, just a few of these guys gone ahead of him, but Mr. Dependlebury. I still would love, could see him as in the top 10 this year as well. Paddy Cripps, I've got it 15. This guy is a supercoach beast. We saw him ripping out 170s, 180s in his first season. If he gets a clear run at it, he could be right up there as well.
Is he the one player that because we've never really seen him with a full preseason and having those development years underneath him, that we're all going to underestimate this year and bang, all of a sudden he's a top five in Supercoach and a top 10 in AFL fantasy? Has he got that potential?
Especially for Supercoach, he could be a top five, no worries whatsoever. I mean, the only thing he's lacking in his game is goal kicking, and he said he's come out and said it himself that he's trying to add that string to his bow. So we'll just wait and see. But he's fairly undervalued. But I know all the salary cappers are up and about him. But I'm still pretty high on Paddy Cripps.
If Cripps led the league in scoring for Supercoach, I wouldn't be blown away. But I would never draft him as my M1. Just the injury history is just terrifying.
Is he an M2 or an M3 on where people rank him at the moment?
He'll be an M2. And I wouldn't be shocked if in some leagues he got drafted as the 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th midfielder off the board.
Like if people... Because right now in AFL Fantasy, he's probably an M3, but could end up being worth an M1.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
he's just got that much upside. I don't know if his accumulation will help him get that score as well.
See, yeah, in AFL Fantasy, it's because of the handballs. Like, it holds him back. It's like Fife. Like, I don't know how anyone could draft Fife as an M1 because, like, number one, he's injured all the time, and number two, he just doesn't have the game that suits that format. It's the Bont, Cripps, they're the same guys.
Number 16 for me is Dane Beams. Since he's moved to Brisbane, he hasn't had a clear run at it, but we have seen his time at Collingwood that he is a massive scorer, going 113, 116 before, so with scoring like that and averaging like that, it could potentially see him a top 10, but I like him there. As an M2, Joel Selwood at number 17 for me. He's not playing forward, he's playing midfield only. He head over the ball, contested ball. Supercoach, we know, rewards that. So Joel Selwood, that number 17 for me. As statesman as well, I was cool on him at the start, but I'm really liking him because he is a Lang Warren boy. He's a local Steve. That's Luke Parker. Back up there at 18. He's going to come back to it. Seb Ross, I'm really high on for Supercoach this year at 19. And JPK rounds out my top 20.
Yeah, JPK was going to be a question I asked because Supercoach is a big scorer. So I probably was surprised he wasn't earlier in your 11 to 20. But if he scrapes in, I think that's something that he's not going to drop away. I think he might drop away a little bit in AFL Fantasy, but I don't think his impact will be reduced.
Oh, look, years gone by, he was a top 10 pick in Supercoach and even on that swing, 11-12 there, but I think there's a few others coming through there that's going to take it off him. But yeah. Still, I love him as an M2.
Yeah, I actually don't see the big scores with JPK, to be honest. I think I've got him at 20 myself, so right in the same range as you, John. I just don't see the big 130s with him. It's more of a 105 every week, so I don't think he's going to do... You know, he's not going to lead the league in contested possessions again, I don't think.
No.
We've seen those numbers drop right away. Another guy step up. The guys you're missing, Taylor Adams. I think that's a bit of a whiff.
Coming right up next to you, mate, and I'll give you my reasons why. Kicking it off there at 21 is Taylor Adams. The only reason I've got him so low is his ball use and disposal efficiency just really kills him in the Supercoach game.
Does it?
You look.
Does it?
Well, it does. It does. I mean, if he could kick, hit the side of the barn with his foot.
Dominated the second half. Look at Dustin Martin. Goes at 65%.
But Adams is worse.
He's worse. He still scores, though.
I know he still scores, but if he can increase that to, say, a Dusty 63%, then he's up in that M2 range. But for me, he's just in that M3 range for me, where I'd feel comfortable taking him. Mm. Well, everything else is fine by him, but just that disposable by foot, which really is affected in Supercoach scoring. 22 for me is Jack McRae. Just solid as they come in both fantasy formats, even the super coach, even though he wouldn't know what the hell a contested possession is. he's safe as house as Jack McRae. 23 for me is Steve Coniglio. Just love the way he plays his football. Whether it's tagging, or wouldn't say tagging, but run with players, he still gets the balls both ways and is very good with it. Actually got Gary Ablett coming in at 24 for me. He is going to bounce back. He has been a top scorer for many years. He gets the contested possessions. He can kick 4 goals in a game, still get 23 possessions and bang out 150. Mark Murphy coming in at 25. Comes back to the pack a bit this year. Might even cop a bit of attention with the tag now that Gibbs is gone. Trent Cotchin at number 26. Just solid again as they come. Premiership captain. Love it. Bryce Gibbs, he's not going to have another career year like he did this year, but he's your vanilla pick that we never really talk about him. Still safe as houses, though. Adam Treloar coming in at 28. Yeah, there's a bit of hoo-ha and a conspiracy theory about his super coach scoring last year. He'd have 30 possessions and only score 100 or something like that, but it was because of his disposal efficiency. If you can get that right, you go back up there, but he'd still be a solid 100 averaging midfielder. Callum Ward at 29. There was a time where it looked like he was going to be one of the best midfielders, but seems just to be that 105 averaging midfielder now, but still gets a contested ball, but can go missing, doesn't kick enough goals for me. And Mitch Duncan rounds out my top 30.
And just speaking about Duncan before we pick the eyes out of you, obviously my error before, but where I joined him in dropping Ebert out of the top 30, I've actually put him riding on the two boys that I gave a major lift to, and I think that's where he deserves to be. So Rockcliffe at 12, Parker at 13, and Mitch Duncan I'll put at 14 for AFL Fantasy. Sorry, gentlemen, and it was an oversight, my bad.
Yeah, and just a couple of honourable mentions that missed out there in the top 30. I've got Dan Hand, Ebert, Prestia, Heppel and Wines there, all just missing out.
I've got Wines in at 30. Did you have Duncan? I got Duncan at 24.
30 for Duncan for me.
Okay. Oh, I did write that down. No, I'm not completely losing it. Yeah, again, we're pretty similar. I got Sidebottom at 27. I think he's pretty consistent. I think... Adam Treloar is... I've got him at 12.
Wow.
Yeah, I just see him bouncing back. I just... You know, good players can have a down year. Like, would anyone be shocked if someone had a down year? Like, you know... And I think it's more of a... The Collingwood forward line, you know, needs to sort itself out to give him some targets to give him some targets to kick to, quite frankly.
Yeah, sure.
I think that's a
well,
bit
of an issue.
Well,
I suppose if he gets that goal assist and that, that'll bump the scores up, but... I don't know. Who's going to kick Collingwood's goals? That's the question.
No. Well, they're all playing... Oh, sorry. Travis Varko's playing forward. Everyone else is playing back. Varko's forward. I don't mind your list. I think the only guy I really had outside that we haven't already spoken about is Connor Blakely.
Yeah.
Bit of a points per minute machine. No, he's banged out a lot of great scores last year off the Freo half back line. So I think he's... you know, if someone wanted to grab him a little bit earlier, I wouldn't have a super big problem with it. And I think David Zaharakis is a really interesting guy as well. Not that he's an M, not that he's an M3, but he's a very good player as well, and very good
player. But I've cooled a bit on Zaharakis, but still certainly can change.
What do we see with Jack Stephen this year? Like last year, he had the punctured lung. You know, he's sort of moved outside a bit more, but his numbers weren't super off. But they were all off enough to lead to a massive drop. Like, can he bounce back?
I think he can. We won't see him be like he was a few years ago, where he was the number one fantasy scorer in AFL fantasy, but 105 average isn't out of the realm of impossibility.
It's remarkable his drop from number one scorer to not being anyone's top 30 here.
Yeah, 93 average he had.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. All right. We have some questions. Thank you, listeners, for sending in your questions. We really appreciate it. I've got one actually from last week, which I actually missed, so I do apologise, and that's from Andrew Longdon. He has a hypothetical, guys. He says, your first round pick is a tier one midfielder. When it comes around to your second pick, A tier one midfielder, defender, and forward are all available. What do you pick and why? And also, what do you prefer between a tier one forward and a tier one defender?
Yeah, well, the answer on the tiering is you when you've got all three there, it's whatever tier you have less of. Like if you've got two midfielders, three defenders, and one forward, you take the forward because there's more chance you'll get another tier one player on your return pick. All things being equal, I rank them midfielder, defender, forward this year.
Yeah, I go a little bit on what the scoring potential is, and obviously with my bent towards the AFL fantasy model, if you're getting someone that's a potential 115 plus, like a Zach Merritt, versus a 98 defender versus 102 scoring forward, I'm always going to go that 115 plus, because there's just so few of them where you can have defenders, quite a few of them close to that sort of 98 mark, and quite a few forwards close to the 100 mark. So it's just that little divider that creates, and I go the plus model. I think Ruckman have shown in recent years through Cox, through Goldstein and also Steph Martin, that they can get the 110 score plus. So I add 5 for Ruckman, I add 10 for a forward, and add 15 for a defender. So if you work that out, that I've got a 90 scoring defender available. If I've got a midfielder that I think is a 110 midfielder, which is 20 points, so it's over that 15 cap, I'll actually go that midfielder because I'm building a score every time I do it.
Yeah, and it's just around as well. Like the reason I do that is like obviously the midfielders are scoring more, and in most fantasy formats, you're fielding more midfielders, but there's less pure mids than there are players with defender status or forward status. There's actually about 80 more forwards than there are defenders. So there's generally going to be more of them you can find off the waiver wire at any given time to give you some scores. So,
gents, we actually have our very first audio question sent in from our great mate at Big Cox. So just going to play that for you, gents, and get your thoughts on what he says.
My question for the draft doctors is, who makes the best gravy, KFC, Red Rooster, or other? Also, does the Statesman know what gravy is? And does it taste good on his salad?
Thanks very much for that, at Big Cox. The best gravy for me is certainly KFC, if it's between those two. Just their consistency and all the goodness of whatever they put out of the bottom of the deep fryer in there. It's fantastic. But I can't go past my local charcoal chicken gravy. It's the chicken gravy. It's beautiful. Goes good on chips with a bit of chicken salt. And also a bit of Gravox. Just your packet, Gravox, add a bit of hot water.
I will answer. I know what gravy is because the family seem to have it around with their Christmas lunch. I never really have it myself, to be honest, and never go to KFC and or what was the other one, Red Rooter. I don't do those things. No, I don't put gravy on my salads. And if I ever have some form of sauce like that on something, it's actually peppered sauce. I love the old peppered sauce.
Can't go wrong. Our next question is from Twitter, at TWR412. He's got a 10-keeper, 14-team keeper league that plays a one ruck and one utility that must be a defender or a forward. He's got his keepers are Simo, Witho, Burton, Ross, Treloar, Murphy, Gorn, Buddy Franklin, and good personality Tom. His last spot's between Sauce Jacobs and Brendan Goddard. He's saying he can trade Sauce Jacobs for a first rounder or Brendan Goddard for a third rounder. What should he do?
We had a similar question the other week, and it really depends on the mix. But I will say, actually, keeping Gorn and Jacobs makes much more sense to me, because he'll be able to trade Jacobs for a better player than he's actually going to be able to redraft.
So if it's a keeper, I'm looking at Goddard as potentially being his last year this year. And
yep.
Throw Goddard, trade Goddard to whoever for a third rounder. And third rounders are going to be a quality pick as well. So And even on the upside, throw Gorn out because of the body issues and keep Sauce.
I'd probably trade Goddard in that scenario. I don't like that scenario.
It's a tough one, but I like it.
Yeah. I don't know. You'll know your own pool better than me.
Yep, absolutely. But I think there's much more value for Jacobs after the redraft than prior to the draft.
Our next question is from at Matty Randell on Twitter. He plays in a 14-team, 41-player ultimate footy keeper. They like to go dynasty style. He has Zach Smith and Sean Darcy as his ruckman, but his defence isn't great. Should he trade Darcy for Lloyd?
I don't do it.
Yeah, I'm close.
The problem with Zach Lloyd is you can always lose defender status, and then you're like, yes. Do I even want to play him on a week-to-week basis? Yes. I'm keeping Darcy, forget it.
Yeah, I'm probably with you
and then that point. Yes. And I hope Zach Smith has a real good year this year, and I ship him off next year.
Well, that's right.
Yeah, I'm all about Zach Smith as a late round pickup this year. From our mate at Bangers and Mash, he asks, who are our top five wrestlers from the Attitude Era, basically? Well, I've got Macho Man Randy Savage, even though he wasn't in there. He just made the cut. Mankind, Triple H, The Rock, and Stone Cold. Pretty vanilla, but they were the best.
If you don't have Stone Cold and The Rock, you're just being anti, quite frankly. So, yeah, that. I've got Stone Cold, The Rock, Shane O'Mac. Here comes the money, baby. Come on. Jericho and Kurt Angle. And honorable mentions, Jono, to Test and The Godfather.
And I'll throw Chris Benoit in there because he has been wiped from the annals of WWE history.
Come on. Yeah, that's too much.
But he was a great wrestler. And next question is from OTLS Zeno. He says, you got dinner with five sporting heroes, alive or dead. Who are they?
Can I feel this one? Because I actually put a bit of thought into this. And I thought, you know what? People will say, you know, I thought the typical man would go two ways. They'll say, like, they're sporting heroes. Some of them are a bit vanilla, but. And they might go the other way where they invite, like, very attractive women. And I'm like, I don't want that. I don't want either one of these lifestyles. And I'm going to, if you think about it like this, because you probably just, did you name one or two?
Females?
Yeah. Or just two. All five. Yeah, see, this is the thing. You're dealing with three other male athletes who all put you to shame. They got the chicks, not you.
But you don't know how old my male athletes are.
Okay. Anyway, so I went for guys who are going to be fun and like a party, like a feed, and maybe I can pick their brain. So I got Babe Ruth. Seemed like he really enjoyed a good time. Meanwhile, best
and a good feed.
And a good feed. Number two, got Shaquille O'Neal. Very funny man. Loved the big Shaq. Number three, I got Phil Hellmuth. It's just going to rile everyone up. Very funny. Talk a bit of game theory. Stone Cold. He'd probably just bring a dead deer and just slam it down. We'll start eating that. Number five, I got Bill Belichick, man. I would love to see what goes on inside that dude's head.
Yeah, see, I've gone with the Muhammad Ali, Joe Frazier.
Oh, my God.
They can beat the crap out of each other. Man, you watch the doc on them too. They had actual hatred for each other. It was great. So they can just sit there beating the crap out of each other. Got to have the greatest basketball of all time, MJ there. Loved him growing up. And yes, yeah, Steve, I did have two females there. Growing up as a teenager, it was Anna Kournikova and Daniela Hunter-Kova. I can be the net in that singles match.
The problem with inviting MJs is a notoriously bad tipper, so you're going to be stuck with this tip. Like, come on.
Hey, Ali was a very, very generous man, my friend.
Okay. Who do you want to eat with, Statesman? Booney?
Richo?
The three traders and Zeno and Archie.
Our next question is from at K Tapscott 21. He's got a starter keeper league, 5-7-1-5 in the Dream Team ASL fantasy format. He asked, what's his strategy with Sam Doherty? Do you draft him and keep him on the bench, one of your bench spots? And if so, what's his draft range in the keeper league?
I'm really sorry. I didn't really keep this one until the pod. I actually passed my thoughts So I'll just call that up and read it out, if that's okay. But did you have different thoughts to what I responded to him with, Steve?
Yeah, I actually thought you went a little bit late. I'd be much more comfortable drafting him. And I think you mentioned round 15 was where you'd be looking at him. I'd actually be more comfortable looking at him in about round 9 or 10. I think that's just before you're talking your cutoff for keepers. So I think that's the spot for me. I don't expect the 116 average, so you might miss him at that point. And that's just something you're going to have to live with. But
yeah, I put it's a movable beast. It depends on how the draft goes. Someone may go early, and that covers that. It's a move on. If it pans out long-term, your defense looks weak. So if you're looking good in the midfield, looking good in the forward line, your defense is looking weak, jump on after round 15. Remember, in fantasy terms, a knee is generally 2 years, was my response.
Good response. And one of our last questions is from Scott Warwick on the Facebook. He says it's been 12 months since his stomach operation, where he's gone down 40 kegs. So well done, Scott, on that, for getting rid of the 40 kegs. He asked, what should be his healthy celebration meal? No fish and no seafood. I'd recommend a Nutribullet Pinot shake.
Terrific.
Did he just do a... he's stealing my bit there, Statesman?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'd go for a nice cut of venison and a salad with that. I think the game meats are meant to be pretty low-fat and good for you compared to some of your other meats. So venison's a great treat.
Or kangaroo.
Nah, it tastes like crap.
Nah, no, it doesn't.
Won't have it. Disgusting.
Well, sadly, I wish you didn't put the caveat afterward, because I went lobster straight away, and then I went scallops, and then I went prawns, and going, no, it's no fish, no seafood. So to be quite honest with you, because my next thing that I absolutely love is curry. So I'd have a nice hot chicken curry, for want of a better one. I'd probably have a vegan curry, because I love the old lentils. But chicken curry, Thai curry, nice and hot, would be wonderful.
That wraps up the show for this week. If you do have any other questions throughout the week, hit us up on Twitter at The Draft Doctors or at Statesman33. Hit up the Facebook as well. Search The Draft Doctors there. And check out the website. We will have our midfield rankings up this week, as well as articles will be dropping quite regularly as well. So check that out as well, thedraftdoctors.com.au. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.